Now I have selected for our message tonight the 104th Psalm. And I'll give you in just a few minutes how the psalm is organized and the emphasis that David put in it for our blessing. Now this psalm tonight has in it unquestionably the thanks for the earth on which we dwell. And I want to give you the 8 different references to earth and what it means for you and me, and how God has made it in such a way that we're to bless His name for it. We're to bless His name for it. We get into the sun, we get into the moon that gives light and order to the earth, we get into the trees, we get into the animals that die and all that gets out of the streams and the rivers, we get into the mountains, we get into everything that there is about the earth. And I think it's nice for us to stop sometime and just think what God says about the earth so we can appreciate it. But what I'd like to say before we get into the analysis of it and breakdown as I planned, I want you to recognize that everything that is said about the earth here, we can say about it now. In other words, the earth has continued to manifest and to provide for us what we now enjoy. And though David wrote this psalm about 1,000 years before the Lord came, and now it's 2,000, this psalm was written 3,000 years ago, but the earth at that time was doing the same thing it's doing now. And in doing the same things it's doing now, we can take a psalm like this and rejoice in the way the psalmist does at this point. Now with that introduction, I want you to turn with me, please, to Psalm 104. And we come down, please, to verse 5. He laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed. He laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed. So we don't intend to see the law of gravity collapse or be modified. We don't intend to see the year going around the sun modified in any way. It'll still be 365 days in a minor fraction. It's going to stay that way. He laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Now we're told, of course, later that we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth, and the curse will be taken off the ground. We also know that when the earth was formed and God finished it in 6 days, and what he created, he declared was good. But there are certain pillars, there are certain foundations under which the earth itself rests. One of the translations here from the Hebrew reads, "He hath founded the earth upon her bases." Now, I don't know just what that means, but that literally is what it is out of the Hebrew. But there are certain bases on which the Lord has placed this earth. But so far as you and I are concerned, He's placed it upon nothing. On nothing. I like to see the picture of the earth. The men who went to the moon and walked on the moon, they not only gave us pictures of the moon, but they gave us a picture of the earth from the moon. And it was a beautiful sight. In fact, when they look at the earth from the moon, it looks very much like the moon as we look from the earth to the moon. It's just a big round ball up here. We see it, and we can go around it. We know the size of it. We can estimate it. But here it stays in its place. And we're told that God has set it upon nothing, and He has ordained that it shall continue. And in the eternal purposes of God, He sent His Son to the earth. He sent His Son to Jerusalem. He sent His Son to make the sacrifice for our sins just outside the walls of Jerusalem, and the whole thing fits into a place. Now as we go through this, every one of us will recognize it because we're familiar with the different things that are said here about the earth. We begin by this verse telling us that He's founded its foundation, and someday He'll give us a new heaven and a good earth. But we got the mountains and they're shaking. We got the rivers and they run over. And we've got the ocean that's full of fish. And all these things that we're familiar with are touched on by David in this beautiful psalm. Now with that introduction, I had no trouble analyzing it and finding out just how the Lord had put it together, and He's done it in a magnificent manner. Now will you turn, please, to verse 9. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Well, He's talking now about the flood, I believe. He may be talking about the earth when there was no form or void upon it and waters were over the earth. Verse 6, Thou coverest it with the deep, as with a garment the waters stood above the mountains. Now, was that the flood? It could have been. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded them. For thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over. Now, I don't expect the ocean to come over and pass over the Christian animal. I don't expect that. We've got the ocean in its place, and we've got the boundaries pretty well set for it, and the men begin to tell us all these different things about the waters, but He set boundaries. And we read here that they turn not again to cover the earth. So we're pretty sure that the earth is going to be a dwelling place for man. It's going to be a place where men come and all the things that are said here about the earth. Now we come down to verse 13. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Everything that's produced on this earth is the fruit of God's creation, His hands. And we appreciate it. We know it. And we're so satisfied with it. He watereth the hills from His chambers. That's verse 13. He satisfied, the earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. How manifold are thy works, O Lord, in wisdom hast thou made them all. That's down in verse 24. We'll be coming to it. But you notice how He's giving us all these details. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. The work of God is manifest to you and me in every single thing that we see and everything we have to deal with on this earth. Now look at verse 14. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of men. We eat the herbs we always have from the beginning, that He may bring forth fruit out of the earth. So we have the farmer, and I'm sure this psalm was a great blessing to farmers as they did their work and saw what came out of the ground. You plant seed, and it brings up corn, and you can raise your potatoes and your tomatoes. In fact, everything comes up out of the earth. And God is telling us that He hath bringeth forth food out of the earth. He bringeth forth food out of the earth. And wine that makes it glad the heart of man. Well, of course, we've gotten to the place where that has been so abused and so spoiled that we don't use it even in our communion services anymore. But God has made the juice from the grapes, and it's good when it's not fermented, and we enjoy it. The oil to make His face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. Every piece of bread that you eat, God has made it possible for you to have it. Now the trees of the Lord are full of sap, and they are in the springtime. And then we come to the season when we're here. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which He hath planted. My, how I used to love to see those cedars of Lebanon. And we had our Bible conference up at Nabasopha there at the cedars of Lebanon. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which He hath planted. We just take these things for granted. We just accept all these things everywhere we go. Now we get into the birds, where the birds make their nests. And we're watching that all the time. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. And isn't it interesting how a bird gathers up these little sticks and it finds some where the forks of the tree are, and they put them there, and they put enough in there, and they lay their eggs, and they sit on them, and they make their nests. Now, the high hills are the refuge for the wild goats. And so these wild animals get their refuge in the mountains, and we have many of them out there. The fir trees are, no, the cedars of Lebanon, which he has planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. Still today, it's still the way it is. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats. And you have to go to the mountains and you get them. You see them there. They're still there. And the rocks for the conies. Well, Job told us about that. He appointed the moon for seasons. Well, we have the moon in relationship to our different seasons, as you know. The sun knoweth his goings down. Now, you and I know the sun doesn't go down. We'll just go around it. But here is a recognition of what it appears to us. And the sun comes up and the sun goes down. Thou makest darkness. God arranged that the light of the sun would be taken away from us for a while, and the earth would settle in darkness. And it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. And that's what you hear when you go out into the mountains. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. God intended for a lion to kill and get meat. Now we come to verse 22. The sun arises, they gather themselves together, and they lay them down in their dens. And so the lion gets quiet in the daytime. But man goeth forth to his work and to his labor until evening. And that's exactly the way we've been doing it. And David is writing this beautiful psalm, and he said, oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'm on the earth. I'm secure. I have so many hours to work, and I have so many hours to sleep, and it's always been that way. No wonder we thank the Lord. And then he comes and he said, man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. Until the evening. My, it's a beautiful thing to see that the fruit of the ground is the work of the Lord. And all these good things that come out of the ground and out of the gardens and out of the farms and all that, they're all good things that God has made possible that we should enjoy, and we ought to be thankful for it and recognize that God has given it to us. I've been very much interested, as I've done all these travelings, how God made the polar bear white in the north where they got snow, and how God has adjusted the animals that he's made for the earth to the nature in which they find themselves. Now, God did all of that. He's arranged all of that for their various protection and their various existence. And you marvel at the way in which God has done. Now, I'm concerned, as you know, we've got a vice president that thinks that he's going to be able to run nature. He's going to get control of it, and he's going to make sure that we don't destroy this earth on which we live. I'm not worried about that one minute. I've told you many times we shouldn't be concerned about it. It is nice to keep the streets clean, and it will be nice to shorten up our automobiles a little bit, but I don't think you're going to be able to stop the hurricanes. And they'll come every once in a while, like they always have. I don't think you'll be able to control the earthquakes. They don't know enough about how they get started anyhow. Some fault in the ground, they say. The thing is too big for man to regulate. God has to do it. And consequently, when we let God do it, we're grateful to God for taking care of us. And how blessed and wonderful it is to have an experience like that. And you know, I feel very secure on this earth. I'm not worried about the earth causing me any trouble. I feel very secure on it. And you ought to feel secure about it. And we can thank God for it. We just accept this thing. The sun's going to come up on schedule tomorrow. And I just delight to see it. And one of the things that thrills me about the earth is that it turns three ways at one time. It's going three different ways at one time. It's going around the sun. And every 24 hours, it makes a complete circle. 24 hours from now, we'll be standing on our heads. It just goes around. And we accept. We call it day and night, 24 hours. The next thing that the sun, the earth, is doing is that it turns slightly in the season. It changes a little slightly this way, and that it gets warm in the summertime as the sun appears to be north, and it gets cool in the wintertime as the sun appears to go down south. But we're turning three ways at one time. We're going around the sun. Nobody questions that. We're turning every 24 hours completely around, and then we're turning back and forth to give us the very seasons, and God does it. Now, I'm especially conscious of that, not just because I go around the world and have been, but every morning when I come down to the broadcast, I am confronted with the sun in a different place than where it was a week ago. I come down this avenue where we live on Collings Avenue, and I turn in here by the high-speed line and look down, a block down toward this end, and sure enough, the sun's way up here, and pretty soon it comes to be way down there. And I can tell you, every single week when I see that sun in the morning, it's moved sufficiently that I can recognize that we're getting ready for winter. We're getting ready for summer. And I'm really thrilled that I see the earth adjusting itself like this, and the sun hitting the earth with its heat here and less down there. And you realize that we're in a movement that God provides for us, and we simply accept it and thank Him for it. My, how we should praise the Lord that the earth is moving in these ways that God has adjusted it for our good and for our benefit. I sometimes think that the most appreciative people on the face of the earth were the farmers. They would plant their seed and plow their ground. They'd see it come up and see it grow. And this psalm that I'm giving to you now, the 104th psalm, is a farmer's psalm, because he's close to the earth, he's close to where these things are happening, and his success and the benefits that he gets from the ground make possible his living, and he gets it because God has ordained these conditions, and he thanks God for it. Now let's go a little further. Come on down. I showed you these different places thus far, and we're told here now, he appointed the sun and the moon, that's verse 19, for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, and they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Well, that's the lion. Now man goeth forth unto his work, and to his labor until midnight. No, until the evening, it says there. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy richness. The earth is full of thy richness. All the details. All the details. There's some things I wish that the Lord hadn't made. They may have been all right when they started, but I certainly don't like the mosquitoes, and I don't like the bees, and there are a few other things that I'm avoiding that I don't like, but God made them, and I think they were all right when they were made, but I think the sin of Adam reflected upon them a little bit. But anyhow, we do have some poisonous animals, snakes and things like that. But I don't think we're having trouble with snakes, because the women are all scared to death of them to begin with. And the Lord said they would be scared of them. It would be in them the rest of their days. And the reason the women are afraid of snakes or rats or something else that runs around like that is they inherited from Eve. And God told Eve that that would be what would happen to her. But I am grateful for the wonderful, beautiful things that God has made. And we ought to appreciate them and recognize that they've been made for our use and for our benefit. Now, one thing that I do object to, and I object to it very strenuously, and that is that we're told that the animals are our brothers and sisters. We get that now. They're not our brothers and sisters. We don't have any brothers and sisters unless they're human beings that have been born into the kingdom of God. There never was a rat that heard the gospel and got saved. He had no soul to save. But I tell you what has happened, and it's just unfolding all the time. Now, the Roman Catholic putting out a new catechism tomorrow. It's the first one they've had in over 400 years. I'm anxious to see if the New York Times will have a quote from their catechism. But the Roman Catholic Church has been under tremendous pressure in these areas, and I think the Pope is going to elevate the animal world to a higher status than it used to have. Because man now is trying to get all these things together so we can control the ecology. That's what they call it. Now, the reason that the World Council has moved out to put its arm around the pagan religions and dialogue with them and work with them is that they want to get their support for the control of nature so they can save the earth. Well, beloved, I want to tell you, the only thing that I think you could use the word salvation for is not the earth, it's the men that dwell on the earth. And we're the ones who can get salvation and not the monkeys. They go down to dust. And I think this psalm is very clear when it says that they do go to their dust. And that's what becomes of all of them. But I must add one other thing to this. When death came upon man and death reigned, the earth was cursed, and so death passed upon all. The trees die, the monkeys die, the bugs die, everything dies, and it reflects, this psalm says, that they go to their death. Everything dies because man had pronounced upon him the highest judgment possible, death. So it's reflected in everything that man had anything to do with. Now, beloved, I don't believe the monkeys are going to be raised from the dead. I don't believe the animals are going to be raised from the dead. I do know that during the millennial reign that life is going to be extended, other things will be extended, and just what will be the nature of the creation during that period when Jesus reigns, we're not fully assured of. But we do know that the Bible makes it very plain that man is a special creature of God. And when he made him, he told him to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and all that exists on the face of the earth. And man was to enjoy and use all the creation for his best interest, but most of all for the glory of God. Beloved, the Christian faith puts everything in its right position. And it gives us an understanding of where we are and how we're living and the blessings we're going to have. And I want to say to you as we come down to the end of this blessed psalm, I love the earth. I'm glad I'm on a place as nice and good as it is. And I like to enjoy it and breathe the breath of it and recognize it. If I take care of myself properly in relationship to the earth, it'll be healthy for my good nature and my body, and we all should understand that. And so this 104th psalm is one, we'll go on down with the remainder of these passages in connection to the earth. Now notice verse 30. Here we have the sixth reference. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. He's speaking here about the things that dwell upon the earth. He's speaking here about all the life that there is on the earth. And he says in verse 20, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. These are the animals. Thou hidest thy face, and they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and return to their dust. That's the reason we say that the animal world does not exist. There'll be no animals in heaven. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. O God, how thou dost renew the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. God bless. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. Your volcanoes are erupting now more than they have in many years. And so after he's talked about the mountains and the volcanoes and the smoke and all the experiences we have and the ships at sea and the animals in the oceans, he turns in verse 33 and says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. We're a singing people. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Every time you get up in the morning, thank God. Thank God for a new day. And then he turns and says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Oh God, we're so grateful that you put us in a place like this. It's a wonderful place to live in, a wonderful place to enjoy the Lord in. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Lord, let's have an earth in which the people who dwell will not be plagued with the wicked. And let thy people, bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. Now the key to this are the 8 specific references to the earth. And the whole psalm reports the order of things under the sun and under the moon and all the animal world and the sea world. It describes it for us, and I said this would be a very excellent psalm for the farmers. They live by the ground, they're close to these things, they depend upon the weather, and this would be a wonderful psalm, and I'm sure it's been used all through these centuries. But remember, this psalm was written 3,000 years ago, and the earth hasn't changed. And we can read it and see the things that it says in it as they apply to our daily understanding and appreciation of what we see and what takes place here on the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord.